Walking with God is about compass. It's about the compass that gets set into your heart. When God assigns you someplace, it's because he wants to set a compass in you. Faith operates by compass. The compass is set by the word of God. It's more like sailing. Think about sailing over an ocean. See, they set a compass and they sail. Amen. You're going to sail into the things of God. You're not going to speed through that. This is heavy, it's rich, it's deep, and it's deep calleth to deep, and it gets even deeper and richer and fuller. Amen? Glory to God. We move in God by the word. The Lord says, in him we live, in him we move. Christ, you move in him. And we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen? You're asking God to do something. He's already done. You're out of alignment. You have to go and receive what he's done. Amen? But there's a progression to that. You enter into the door, the throne of grace, the rest, union with Christ, union with the Father, worship in spirit and truth. There is a perfect love that dwells in the Father. When you learn that place, you can go there every day. He says we love because he first loved us. A lot of our problem is you're trying to love God's way, but you haven't been loved yet. Now, you know the love of the Father, but you haven't really been loved on a consistent basis. You might have fallen into his love. You've had encounters with his love, but his love was designed to baptize you on a daily basis. And if you want that on a daily basis, you're going to have to go to where he is. You're not going to get that by visitation. Not a continual basis. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to make your journey into God, but it's a place you can arrive. The Lord knows how to love you, and you desperately need it, especially you men. You don't know how much of the love of God you need. The women, you need it too. We need his love. We need his great love. His love restores. It does things that no other part of him will do for you. And you're going to need his love in order to get to his glory. And that's what I'm going to get into today. So we might as well just turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in what? Our image. Say image. After our likeness, and let him have dominion. First you had the image, the likeness, then you had dominion. You lose your image, you lose dominion. And I'm not talking about dominion of men and women taking their personality and their drive and let's go have dominion in the earth. Let's get a good self-image and have dominion in the earth. That's never going to create the dominion of God. God gave man that image. He made him in his likeness, and then he gave him dominion. Now I want you to go to chapter 3. Genesis 3, verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. Everyone always blame it on the woman. He was standing there right with her. He's supposed to be her covering and protect her. He didn't want to do it, so he let her do it. He was standing right there with her. Next time you want to blame it on the women, the man laid down on his covering and let her do that. He was standing right next to her when she did it. And then he said, oh, give me a piece too. You go first in me. Verse 7, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew for the first time. I don't know how long they were there, but this is the first time they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And that's what happened. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Right there, man lost his image. They lost the likeness of God. They lost their dominion. It was stolen by the devil. He took man's dominion, but they lost their image right there. And they went to go hide in the garden. They were hiding from God. And it's the first time that they realized they were naked. Because God did not clothe them in clothes when he originally created them. He clothed them in his image, and he clothed them in the image called glory. Man was clothed in the glory of God. They were clothed in the light. They were clothed in the glory. They didn't even know sin because they were clothed in glory. They didn't even know what nakedness was. But as soon as they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the sin entered the human race, their glory departed from them. And when their glory departed, the first thing they did is they saw themselves naked and they went to hide from the presence of God. And man's been hiding ever since. And then they try to go cover themselves up because shame entered in, condemnation entered in, guilt entered in, all of these things. They're trying to cover themselves. And we've been trying to cover ourselves ever since. And even though you might not be trying, the enemy's got about 1,000 coverings out there. He might have 10,000 different coverings called the world system. To cover ourselves because we're hiding from something, because we lost our image. We're not clothed properly. We lost the love of God and we lost our image. And as soon as that happened, man originally had dominion in that garden. He had power in that garden. It was the glory that he had upon him that gave him the dominion. And as soon as the glory was departed and the dominion was lost, God had to drive them out of the garden. He drove them both out of the garden. They could not stay there anymore because they had no covering to stay there with. They had no image to operate by. They had no more dominion to operate by, and they had no more glory to operate by. And he had to bring them out of his original assignment. Man was naked before God. And immediately God began to set in his course, his plan of redemption. To find a man, Abraham, to cut a covenant, to bring a seed into the earth that would restore covering, restore the image, restore the likeness, then restore the dominion. People trying to go and say, we're going to go operate in dominion and go change the world. If you think you're going to do that in the flesh, how far has that gotten the church in this hour? Have you seen what's happening to America? We are not going to operate in dominion outside of the process by which dominion is restored. And without the glory, there's not going to be a whole lot of dominion operating in the earth. You'll have a lot of man operating, but there's not going to be a lot of dominion operating. Because we're going to have to restore into our image, restore into the likeness of God to operate in the glory, to operate in dominion. Amen. Now I want you to go to Psalms chapter 8. Now Psalms 8 and Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to put your fingers in Hebrews chapter 2. Psalms 8 was a prophetic chapter. Pretty interesting, some of the things he's saying. In Psalms 8, it's a prophetic chapter of the redemption of man, especially the redemption of glory and the redemption of dominion. Psalms 8, how excellent is your name in all the earth, but you set your glory above the heavens. Listen, you're going to operate in God's glory. Don't think you're going to run around in the earth and find it. God's glory is one of the highest levels of operation there is. Going to have to go up into the high places in the mountain of God for his glory. Amen. His glory is your image. Without it, you're not going to fully operate the way he said that we are capable of operating in. Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Because thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. But you've crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion. See, he got crowned with glory and honor first. Then he made him have dominion over the works of your hands. Put all things under his feet. Notice the position of dominion. Everything's under your feet. If you're in the middle of your trial all the time and you haven't learned to grow above it, you're not going to operate in dominion. Because dominion's, everything's under. You're in a position above, first and not last. Above only and not beneath. Amen? Now this is a prophetic psalm speaking of the Lord. And I want you to go over to Hebrews because he's going to say the same things. But keep your finger there. Hebrews 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, that was Psalms 8, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. That's dominion. Set him over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet. Now, if you see this, this was speaking of Christ. He says, for in that he put all things subjected under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But we see now not yet all things put under him. He's talking about your body is the last thing to go at the sound of the trump. That's the only thing that's not been set. Everything else has been set under him. Your body, the final act of redemption. But then he says, we see Jesus. See, he was speaking of Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death and crowned with glory and honor. Now, there's only one time in his entire earthly ministry he was set lower than the angels. At his birth he wasn't. He said, let all the angels worship him. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, could you not call upon my Father for six legions of angels right now? They did his bidding. They were ministered to him. Angels came and ministered to him. He was never set lower than them. There's only one time he was set lower than them, when he actually took upon the cross. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, he left his estate as the Son of God. And he became a sin offering for you. And that's the only time that he was set lower than the angels. He went into the grave, death, burial, and resurrection, and then the Father came and got him. And he raised him from the dead. Amen? Both in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's amazing. When he's talking about the restoring of dominion, both the Hebrew and the Greek said they crowned him, say crowned, with glory and honor. Crowned him with glory, say glory. That word crown, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, I looked it up, both of them separately mean this. The Hebrew Greek word is atar, and it means to encircle, encompass, and surround. He crowned, but he did more than put a crown on him. He restored the glory. He restored the image. He restored the likeness. Because everything Christ did, he was doing as a substitution for you and I. And I'll show you something. I want you to see this before I go there. Go to John 17 really quick. John 17, verse 5. And now, Father, this is his final prayer. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you see that? With the glory I had with thee before the world was. He already had this glory. When he was crowned with glory, he wasn't doing it for his sake. He already had that. That was his place with the Father, to sit at the right hand of the Father. He had the glory. He was already returning to the glory. He said, glorify me, Father, with the glory I had with thee from the beginning. When God was restoring here in Psalm 8, in Hebrews 2, he said, you crownest him with glory and honor. He was doing that for you because he was restoring something man lost. And the part that he was restoring was man's covering, man's image, the likeness of God. When God created man, man was supposed to walk in the earth covered, surrounded, encircled, and encompassed by God Almighty. It was a substance called glory that man would walk in. Just like Adam and Eve before they fall, they were walking in a manifested glory. That's why they didn't know they were naked, because they were covered in glory all the time. That was the image man was made in. That was the likeness man was made in. It was the likeness of God that came from God and encompassed man. It surrounded him. And when he crowned him upon his ascension to the right hand of God, he restored the encompassing glory of God that belonged to man, because he was doing that for you. He restored by way of a crown, and then that crown calls it encompassing glory that surrounded and circled. Both the Hebrew and Greek means the same thing. Stephanos is the Greek word where you get Stephen. It means to encompass, surround, the crown. And that's what God's going to do. Amen. Now watch this. Just follow this in Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews a minute, chapter 2. Look at verse 9. So you crown in verse 7 because you crowned him, encompassed him, restored right there. Man's likeness restored on the final Adam, the last Adam. God's heir had been restored into the earth. What's the first thing he did when he ascended on high? He did not give him dominion first. He restored the glory first. He restored the honor and he restored the glory. He crowned him with it, encompassed it, and he said, then let man have dominion. It was first the glory, then let him have dominion over the works of your hands. Amen? Because in God's system, you don't walk in dominion without the glory. That's why when any man or woman finds the glory of God, you'll see heaven come down with them. Because there is a difference between someone operating the gift realm down here and somebody operating the glory realm from above. Because when the glory's on you, heaven's with you. The Father is covering you. The Father's dwelling with you. The Lord Jesus is dwelling with you in the earth. His glory surrounded you. Manifest glory. Encompassing glory. And it all belongs to you. And it's all dwelling in the right hand of God. Hebrews 2 and 8. So in 7, he crowned him with glory and honor. And then verse 9, he said, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, when he left his estate as a son of God to pay the price for you. And then he was what? First thing God did was crown him with the original image of man. Let us make man in our image. We see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels, suffering a death, crowned with glory and honor by the grace of God. He should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons, and you can say daughters, into glory. In other words, he did this so he could bring you and me into the glory that he inherited from the Father. When the Father crowned him, he crowned you because you were raised together with him, made to sit together as a joint heir. He crowned you positionally. You already have it. Now you're going to have to enter into it, but it's already yours. As long as we're little children, we don't know that we're heirs. We operate like little children around here. But when we grow up into him, we'll grow up into the glory. We will be crowned, encompassed, surrounded, and our original clothing will come back on us. And it's going to be seen in the earth in this last day. And it's going to cause us to operate in dominion. Why are so few people ever operating in dominion? Without that glory, you're going to have a hard time operating in the dominion. Because the glory is the likeness. It's the image. You were made to be covered, clothed in the glory of God. You're going to have that when you get up into heaven. Everybody's going to have that. But the ones who find it here, God's going to shake the earth with. Or before you get to heaven. So it said it became him for bringing, say, bringing many sons. He did this for this express purpose in bringing many sons into glory. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth, that is the Lord, they that are sanctified, that's you, are all of one. Say, we're all of one. What God did for him in his resurrection and the restoration of that glory and the restoration of that dominion in the right hand of God, both he that was sanctified and you that were sanctified, both he that sanctified and you that were sanctified are all of one. He's not ashamed to call you a brethren. He invites you to sit with him as a joint heir. He did it for you. He already had it before he came here. He didn't do it for his sake. He did it for your restoration. You better know that you're worthy. You better know you're worthy to move in the Lord. And then we live and we move. You're going to move in God. I sure wish God would do something. Listen to you. You learn to move in God in the realm of glory. It doesn't do you a whole lot of good to be moving in this realm. But if we move move in God. We move in the Lamb. We move in His rest. We move in union. We move in His love. Then we move in the glory. He's moving us. Say, move me. I know, because I'm tasting of it. When you start tasting of the love on a daily basis and start tasting of the glory, nothing else can do. Amen. We're all one. You're one in Him. You're found in Him. You abide in that position with Him. You're a joint heir with Him in that restoration. Not being, He is the Son of God. You're a son. But you've been restored to your original covering. Your original image that God made you in the likeness of God. Look at what man's become. How far they've fallen from the image. The reason He hates idolatry so much is the epitome of falling from the image of God to worship something in the earth. You lost your image when you do that. It's to be clothed in the Father's glory, is to be clothed in God. It signifies God's with you and you're with Him. It's a covering and a clothing, and it will be manifest in the last days. You're going to see His glory. You're going to carry it and wear it. Amen? Luke 9. You can look at Daniel 7 later, where He ascended before the Ancient of Days, and there was given unto Him the kingdom and the glory. See, He restored it. Say, He restored it. It's already been restored. Dominion's been restored. The question is, how do I get it? How do I get the dominion? How do I get the glory? Where does the glory dwell? How do I get up in there? It's all about compass. Say compass. You're not going to move in the deep things of God if you don't have the proper compass. Is the cross, is your compass all your life? Then you're going to get everything pertaining to the cross. You're going to get to the crow of the cross every day. You're going to get to partake of the cross. You're going to get to die at the cross and receive what's in the cross. But the cross was designed to get you up into the Father. Without the cross, none of us could be there. Without the cross, none of us could be made whole, washed. It was designed to open the door for us to go up in. Amen. I heard a prominent teacher has his own station. He's really the call us to preach the cross. That's all they preach. He goes, you know, I know all about the right hand of God. He goes, I know all about the ascension stuff. He said, but that's not what God designed us to be. We are to live at the cross here all of our days. Sounds good enough. The problem with that is everything God restored for you is in the right hand of God. You got to go up. You got to go in. You got to go through the cross to get there. You can't camp at the cross all your life and expect to have all of that. See, Christ died, buried, was resurrected, and we just leave it right at the resurrection. Okay, He was resurrected. Where was He resurrected? What happened when He got there? What happened when He ascended and He sat down at the right hand of God? What was given to Him at the right hand of God? What is His inheritance there? Why is all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places laid up for me there? Why did He restore the glory in the right hand of God? Hebrews 1 says He was the express image of the Father, the appointed heir, the express image of His brightness. When He had purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The express image. Say the express image. The image has been restored. Luke 9. See, these words are your compass. They produce faith. When you know how to take that and move into the veil. You don't move into the glory. You move through the door first. You move into the rest. You move into union. You move into union with the Father. Then the glory. The glory was in the mountain. When Moses went into the tabernacle, what happened? He met with God in the tabernacle and he said, show me your glory. He said, come back tomorrow, but go up to the mountain. God's mountain, God's glory is what? Is in the mountain. You want God's glory? You're going to have to dwell in the mountain. You're going to have to make your journey into the mountain. God's glory is not cheap. It's costly. You have to die daily, but the dying is to your own will so you can move into His will. Once you get really good at it, there's not much dying at all. You just surrender and move in, then immediately there's life. It's like, that's really not that costly. He goes, oh, it's only costly when your flesh is running the show. Because your flesh is giving up something. But once you surrender and figure out what you were giving up is not much to get all of this. Said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections upon things that are above and not upon the earth. For you are dead. You got to get dead. And your life is hidden with Christ and God. I realize that multitudes are not going to come run into this message. But the sons of full age are. What they are going to run to is when the glory and the dominion comes and the inheritance comes and all the goodies come out of heaven. Then all the multitudes come for the goodies, just like they did with the Lord. His own disciples didn't know what he was talking about half the time. What do you think the multitudes knew? They were there for the goodies. They were there for the power and the healing, the glory, the food. I mean, they were there because he knew how to bring heaven down. Because everywhere he went, there was breakthrough and manifestation of the kingdom. He could multiply fish on a dime, multiply bread on a dime. Things just happen around him. When it's time to pay taxes, he sent you fishing. Luke 9, verse 28. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. Say mountain. Lots of stuff happens in the mountain of God. And he prayed, say he prayed. And the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Mark 9:3 says it like this. His raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, that no fuller on earth could whiten them. He was transfigured right in front of them. That's pretty amazing what was going on this mountain. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared, say appeared, in glory. And spake of his decease that he should accomplish in Jerusalem. And Peter and they were with him, were heavy with sleep. They were heavy under the glory. The glory of God was manifesting, just like Abraham when he cut the covenant. And when they were awake, they saw, say, saw his glory. Say, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. But God gave it to him while he was on earth. Called him up into a mountain. Had Moses and Elijah, which represented the law and the prophets. They were bearing witness to the restoration of the glory. Say the restoration. He called his three future apostles. So they were men of the earth that would bear witness of the restoration. The whole Mount of Transfiguration was for one thing. To restore the glory, the image, the likeness of God upon man. Yes, but he was the Son of God. But the Bible says he took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. He did it as a man. And God restored it to him. In fact, he couldn't do one miracle without the Holy Ghost doing it. I can do nothing unless I see my Father doing it. He did it under subjection to the Father as a man to redeem man. And he brought the law of the prophets to stand with him on that mountain. Then he brought his future apostles, both covenants, witnessing that God has restored the glory. God has restored it upon man. They were looking at his glory. They said they beheld his glory. They gave testimony in the book of Acts of seeing him. So we saw him on the mount. We saw the glory. When Moses asked for it, God said, I'm not going to let you see my face. You're not in that dispensation. He goes, I'm going to hide you in the rock. That was the key. If you're going to see the glory, you're going to get hidden in the Christ. You have to be hidden in the rock to see the glory of God. But they saw it to bear the testimony that it's been restored. That's what that was. When he was transfigured, that's what Adam wore in the garden. That's what Eve wore. That's why they didn't know they were naked, because they wore that light. That was the glory given to man. The Christ came down to restore, and the apostles and the prophets witnessed of it. That's why those two were standing there. Elijah representing the prophets, Moses representing the law. They were bearing witness that the glory's been restored. And the three apostles in here, they were bearing witness the glory has been restored. It was like the glory has been restored. God got it back. And when he gets the glory back, he gets dominion back. Say, first the glory, then the dominion. The reason why we're not operating dominion, because we haven't got the glory on us yet. But we're going to get clothed in the glory, because it's God's mind to clothe the generation in the glory of God. It's his will. It's his express purpose, and that's where we're going. John 17, 22, he said, the glory you've given me, Father. Say, the glory. The glory you've given me, Father, I have given them. You can't polish that any other way. The glory the Father's given him, he's given to you. You are a joint heir to that resurrection life. Father, I will they be with me where I am, that they may behold it. Say, because you lovest me from the foundations of the world. Now I want to share with you, I'll close with this. I want to say one more scripture and I'm going to close. I want to talk to you about the garden for a minute. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, say the glory, are changed into the what? The same image. A man's original image was the glory. As we behold him as in a mirror, where he is, by the way, Father, will they be with me where I am? Be where he's at. There's a place in glory, by the way. There's a lot of rooms in the Father's house. There's a lot of rooms in the Lord. You sit in one seat, but there's multiple dimensions of it. As you behold this glory, you're changed into the same image. 1 John 4 says, we love because we've first been loved. One of the things the Lord showed me, I saw it. I saw it as clear as day. I saw the dominion everyone's looking for cometh by way of the glory. When the glory restores, the dominion restores. Bam, just like that. You can't go walking around in dominion. See, Adam, when he lost his glory, he couldn't walk around that garden and have dominion. Didn't work like that. God had to drive him out. He said, that don't work like this. You lost what's the keys to operate with me. This is restoration, but what I didn't see was God is into the glory. I saw glory, dominion, inheritance, living waters, pow, into the earth. But what I didn't see, what God is into the glory. He said something to me. He said, you're not going to have my glory until you have my love. Because the nature of man, when he lost and was cut off from my love, he went and hid himself. And as long as you're hiding, you can't be clothed in glory and hide at the same time. We don't know that we hide because nobody's turned a light bulb on the inside of us telling us we're hiding. We don't know we've been running from God. We don't understand this agitation that we live in when we love God, but we don't know how to touch him. We don't know how to get in there. We don't have to get in union with him. We live more agitated than we do harmonized with him. Because there are parts of you that are hiding. There's parts of you that are clothing yourself. And the way you deal, the way we deal with pain, the way I dealt with pain. I didn't have a father figure growing up. The one I did have was mean. It's the way I grew up, living in fear all the time. It affects you. It affects the way you have relationships. It affects your intimacy. It affects your social life with people. It affects that. You don't know all the stuff you do to hide and to guard and the self-protection mechanisms and the way you deal with people and the different faces you put on when you're around this person. I got a face for you. I got a face for you and I got a face for you. Which one do you want? I got a face for everybody. But the real you's hiding in there's some fig leaf down there. And God said, even the fig leaves don't work. The only thing that's going to work is blood. That's why he slayed the animal. Right there, he instituted animal sacrifice, and he clothed him with skin. He goes, it's your only covering until my son comes. He's going to wash that away, and we're going to restore you to union. And he's going to restore you to something everybody needs, the love of the Father. The love of the Father. Pure, unadulterated love. It's the only thing that's going to wash those walls down. It's the only thing that's going to bring you back to the God-ordained transparency. Where you don't hide anymore. There's nobody can tell you. You can scream it at somebody. There's no use. They can't see it. They're blinded. You know what the funny thing is? Somebody can be hiding in plain daylight. You walk in the spirit, all of a sudden, man, I see almost every veil they got on them. But they're just determined to keep hiding. Because they don't know that they're hiding. Because you've just grew up in a world that teaches you to cover yourself. Hide. There's only one thing that's going to solve all that. That's the love of the Father. As long as you're covering yourself, or the world's covering you, or shame's covering you, or guilt's covering you, as long as you're covering, the world's covering you, you'll never be covered in the glory. The glory requires all of that to be surrendered. The glory requires God-ordained, God-instituted transparency. It's not until we become transparent that we're ready to be covered in the glory. And you can't be transparent until the love of the Father. And you're not going to get the love of the Father without union with Christ. And you're not going to have union with Christ without the rest. So it goes the door, throne of grace, rest, union with Christ, union with the Father, restoration of glory, restoration of dominion, living waters flowing into the earth. That image. I would encourage you to get on the pathway. Set the compass inside you. And your faith will overcome the barriers. You're not getting in touch with God on a daily basis because you got walls. Those barriers have to be torn down. God wants union. He always wanted union. If anything God starves for is union with man, I have no idea why he loves us so much. I said, what do you bother? I was listening to Todd White the other day, his testimony on TV. And he's trying to kill himself. And he ran into a preacher. And the preacher said, listen, if you don't like your life, give it to somebody who does like it. He goes, there is somebody that actually wants your life. You don't want it. You're trying to throw it away. Give it to somebody who wants it. Because he wants us. He loves us. He loves us a lot. He cares about your struggle, but your struggle is never going to be overcome as long as there's stuff between you and him. You're going to have to conquer that. You're going to have to learn to move through that veil. But I'm telling you, all of these levels belong to all of us. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. Everything in that place is restoration. You're found in him not having your own righteousness. It's all about what he's done for you. God so wants to clothe you. He loved so much. He got his presence down there with Moses, and he said, look, I'm going to dwell right with you in a tent. And he goes, I can't be in you. I'm going to get the next best thing. I'm going to dwell with you in the tent. He wants to be here, and he wants us to be there. He said, I'm going to be with you in a tent. That's how much God wanted. And then they ticked him off with a golden calf. They hurt him. He was mad. God, when he gets angry, he gets, you don't believe it, but God can get hurt. I know that's hard for people to understand. God loves. If you can vex him. So when he goes to Moses, Moses knew he was upset. He pitched that tabernacle outside the congregation because he didn't know what God was going to do. And he went outside the camp, went in there to God. And God said, all right, Moses, here's the deal. I'm going to keep my word to you. I'm going to give you everything I told you. Go on the promised land. I'm going to send my angel. Go on. Have it all. Because I'm not going there with you, but I'm sending my angel, and I'll make sure it all happens for you. That's how much he loved them. Moses didn't want that. He said, no, God. Start interceding. If I found grace in your eyes, God, let your presence go with us. We don't want your angel to go with us. We want you to go with us. Don't send us without you. That's what the church has to come back today. I can't just have enough of a gift round falling on me. We got to have your presence with us. We want to go change the world, but we want your glory with us, God. We want your manifest presence with us now. We've shined enough in our own personalities. We've done everything there is to do. This nation's had the gospel preached every way you can imagine. We've become relevant. But nothing's changed. Father, don't send us to the world until you're with us. Till your presence will go with us. And the nations will see it. And then if we found grace, and then God agreed to that, and then Moses kept going, man, he was bold. He said, okay, now I got your presence back. Show me your glory now. All happened in one day. Turning from wrath to glory. Took, he said, meet me tomorrow in the mountain. Tell no man to come up this mountain but you. Went up there. God showed his glory to him. He come back shining like a light bulb. He saw the glory of God. It was wore it. Wore the glory of God. So he wore the glory. He wore the glory. Oh, that's why he was there witnessing on the mount. Do you have any idea who you are? The devil knows who you are. You think he's just giving you a hard time. He wants to beat you down and keep you beat down so you'll never figure out just who you are, where you belong, and just your capacity to walk in the fullness of God. Because it only takes one to get through. When one gets through, a whole nation will come through the veil. And he knows it. And he's deathly afraid of it. And there's nothing he can do about it. Because all of that realm is far above his reach. God designed in such a way that the devil will never steal that. Get over the fact that you've been abused, stolen from, accused, persecuted, afflicted. Get over it. Well, you know what they did? They stole my inheritance. It doesn't matter. They can't steal that one. They never will steal that one. We've all gone through it. It doesn't matter the injustices that have happened to you. That is never going to be taken from you. It's always yours. It always will be yours.